And there is a lot going on in the world of sports this week, so let's get right to it with our sports analyst, Mike Pesca. He hosts the daily podcast, The Gist, at Slate.com. Mike Pesca, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Let's start with this.
But that will do it! The Seattle Storm have climbed back to the mountaintop! They are your 2018 WNBA champions!
Mike, big night for the Seattle Storm in the WNBA. What'd you think of the game?
Well, I thought the whole series just showed how great and important a player Sue Bird is. So she's the, I could say aging, but we all are. That's a tautology.
She's 38, I'll say it.
Yeah, she seems to be ageless. She's the point guard who frequently breaks her nose, I think, 5 times. So sometimes she plays with one of those masks like Joel Embiid. And when we use the phrase like player on the court, you have not seen someone in team sports who on the court or on the field is as much of a coach on the court or on the field as Sue Bird is. Now, she wasn't even the finals MVP. Breonna Stewart, her teammate, was a deserving finals MVP. But Bird, quite remarkably, in I think her 14th year, she won a title in 2004 and then 2010 and then 2018. So spacing titles every 8 years apart, I mean, that's kind of amazing.
It's a good resume. But let's talk about Breonna Stewart. Some people are calling her the best women's basketball player in the world.
Yeah, I mean, I think that stats and eyes are saying that. I think that the fact that she's the finals MVP and the reigning MVP and just looking at her and, you know, pouring in 28, 30 points, she had 30 points in the last game, is kind of amazing. The de facto title of greatest women's player in the world, for a long time it was Diana Taurasi. She of the Mercury. She's, yeah, 36 years old. I think she's not going gently, but she's ceding the title. And most people who follow women's basketball will say that Breonna is the best player. If Sue Bird comes back, why wouldn't she? We would say ageless. Looks like the Storm could have a dynasty there. They're a really great team. The city loves them. After the Supersonics were untimely ripped from that Northwestern city, they've totally gotten behind the Storm. They're going to be rewarded with an NHL team and maybe, I hope, an NBA team. But it's a great story for basketball.
Okay, different sport now. Let's hear some more tape.
0-2. Yes. He struck him out. And the Red Sox win it 1-0. And for the first time in over 7 decades, the Boston Red Sox have won 100 games.
The Red Sox have won 100 games. I'm looking at the calendar. It's September 13th. There's something like 2 weeks or more left in the regular season. It's early, and this is a very good team.
Yeah, they are on a pace, or if you look at advanced stats and who they have left to play, the record I'm seeing projected for them is something like 110-52, which is great, which is not the best ever, but among the all-time greats. But the odd and perhaps painful thing about baseball is that the vagaries of the game dictate that we don't know if serve will hold in the postseason. You have the Astros, who are another great team in the American League. And just the fact that in these five-game series, you get two bad starts and you might be struggling even though you're a dominant regular season team, which the Red Sox are.
Right. You still got to win the World Series. I think thinking back a few
years, you got to win the World Series.
Seattle Mariners, they won like 116 games and they didn't make it. They didn't win
right.
at all. So
they're the big exception. Most teams that are this dominant in the regular season actually do go on to at least make the World Series. But again, I'll quote some 538 advanced stats. Chance of the Red Sox winning the World Series right now, they only have is 27%, which for a baseball team in this day and age might be as big as you could get.
Yeah. So we're doing this round robin through sports right now. How about the fallout from Serena Williams and this story from the U.S. Open over the weekend? Of course, we all know now she was penalized for getting tips from her coach. She slammed her racket down in anger and broke it. She called the umpire a thief and then later accused him of sexism. The interesting development in this story is that now the umpires are threatening a strike, or they say they're going to boycott her matches. So can they do that?
Isn't the point of the umpires to be out of the way and let the players play and they could maybe adjudicate fairness? It does seem that the umpires, perhaps like Serena herself, are protesting too much. Now, I understand what's going on. In the wake of what we all saw, Carlos Ramos, the umpire in that situation, was criticized. And they got their backs up and they saw things, I think, through the referee lens. And they said, this guy is just doing his job. Why criticize him? We're going to rally around him. And I will say that there was a lot of criticism. Many, many people said he could have defused the situation. But, you know, that's not necessarily an umpire's job. And there's nothing, not only by the rule book, but I think by best practices, there's very little that said that Carlos Ramos acted anywhere outside the acceptable scope of what you want from an umpire. He's a pretty strict taskmaster guy. Yeah. So to some extent, he's been overly criticized. But, you know, if they didn't say anything, I think the umpire world would be fine. I think the bigger, more interesting conversation is going on with sexism and tennis, and maybe the umpires should cede that point.
I think it's a good debate. Mike Pesca here, and now sports analyst. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.